Good morning, fellow gooners, and welcome to another episode of Cannon Talk. I'm here this morning, my co-host as usual, Aiden.
As it goes, the international break couldn't have come at the worst time, with Arsenal, you know, showing good vein of form and players showing good momentum. But it seemed like we came back with a few knocks to players and taking on two crucial games, one against Liverpool and against Slavia Prague.
Yeah, the much-awaited English classic Arsenal was Liverpool, with Arsenal going into the game, you know, without Smith Rowe and Bukayo Saka, you know, with the upcoming game against Slavia Prague in mind. I mean, many of the fans also felt, you know, was it worth the risk, you know, dropping these two players? Then, of course, on match day, no Granit Xhaka either due to illness. He was replaced by Dani Ceballos, while David Luiz set this one out after picking up an injury in training. So, and also, I think, immediately going under operation, which, with that surgery, I think it takes him now into probably, you know, being out for the rest of the season, which was, I mean, not that he's like the most reliable, but I think he's the most experienced and it normally brings it into these, you know, big games. But yes, the game kicks off, both sides kind of cautious. 10 minutes in, nothing really interesting happening. And then, of course, Liverpool gets up, almost like kind of size up Arsenal, noticing we were kind of sitting way deeper. And I think that was almost like, or I think their game plan already came into play in that, little, you know, sizing us up like that. And I mean, the more they started coming forward at us, for some reason, we decided to take the, you know, the route of parking the bus early on in the game.
I think against a side like Liverpool, if you're going to allow them to dictate like that, you're going to set yourself, you know, back already. And the Dani Ceballos coming in with Thomas Partey, I just didn't think I felt comfortable with that combination, especially with how strong Liverpool's midfield has become with Fabinho moving back into the heart of the midfield once again. Yeah, I think Sebio struggles against Liverpool. There was a when was at that time he said that he felt scared playing against Liverpool. I think this first game he played for Arsenal or something like that.
Yeah. So I mean, by the 15 minutes, for me, he already has the first kind of sighter taking a 30-yard, and I think just whistles over the bar. Then 4 minutes later, Liverpool, you know, really setting up the pace with the tempo of their passing. And Arsenal, besides now, you know, just, you know, sitting and parking the bus, we're now all of a sudden chasing shadows because we're not really getting any sort of possession back, winning the ball back. Liverpool are knocking the you know, the ball about. And we're almost like just chasing shadows. And I'm thinking to myself, or even I think the commentators also mentioned, Arsenal couldn't even string like five passes in a row to each other without losing the ball.
I also think shame poor Martin Odegaard was always trying to do a lone press because every time he was trying to press, the other front three wasn't really helping him in the situation.
And I remember by the 24th minute, there was also a shocking stat of, like I said, only touching the ball in the first 25 minutes three times.
Oh, that's quite hectic. I never knew about that stat. It just shows how Liverpool boxed Arsenal in and didn't allow us any breathing room. And I think in suffocating us, it's almost like Arteta's ways against the bigger clubs now are slowly starting to, you know, not work against the Liverpools and Man City. It's like they figured him out.
By 32 minutes, Liverpool already up to 70% possession, while Arsenal were, you know, ailing at the 30% mark. Most Arsenal ventures going forward really fizzled out in the final third, with Odegaard struggling, as you said, you know, fighting a lone fight up front, with Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe all anonymous.
Yeah, it's really a problem, Aubameyang at the moment on the left. For me, it's just, it seems like, you know, that part of his game is slowly starting to fizzle out, almost like Ronaldo, you know, when he had to kind of adjust his game. And Aubameyang would probably have to move to the centre if you want to keep him on at the club.
And I mean, what I've noticed also the last few weeks, it's like, look, there's talk of say, replacing Lacazette or, you know, being open to the option of selling Aubameyang. But I mean, when you watch the two of them when they're in sprint, And I put that in air quotes. It's like you're watching two guys that are like really labored. And you know, when you flip the script and you now start looking at people say, like, if anybody now watched the last few games of PSG in the Champions League or the, when you see when say PSG counter attack, you've got Mbappe, you know, speeding down the one side, you've got Neymar or whoever, you know, bulleting down the middle of the park, and then you still have somebody outside, right? But I mean, with us, everything is so labored, and I mean, when the ball does go, say, to someone like Pepe, he's always having the urge to cut inside to do something, which of course gets him doubled up. And I mean, I think the likes of Aubameyang and Lacazette, they get, you know, kind of walled in by most defenders, and I mean, even what we would say slow defenders.
Yeah, I know. I think Arsenal needs to add some more blistering pace into the attack. You need, like I always mention, a winger that's going to get chalk on his boots, who's going to give I mean, you need to give Trent Alexander-Arnold something to think about. And I don't think we gave him something to think about. And that kind of, you know, gives Liverpool initiative in the game, because that's their game. You need to kind of suffocate them by, you know, getting a winger that's going to run and run at them. But we just don't have that in the team at the moment, and it's sorely you sorely miss that in the team, and it allows a team like Liverpool to dominate you and play with more freedom.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's why I also had my eye, you know, if we come the summertime, of maybe going for somebody like Neto of Wolves, where you have somebody that's gonna, you know, really drive at people, where, you know, people are on someone like you back off him at your own risk, because you know he's gonna cause damage whether he's gonna go outside you or he's gonna cut inside you.
Yeah, it's Arsenal just have a big problem that needs addressing, and you've seen how Liverpool have done it time in, time out at the moment. They buy from within the Premier League. They get the player who knows the Premier League. We've seen with Jota as well. I mean, Mane, they did the same thing. Van Dijk, they've done the same thing. Even getting a guy like Henderson, you know, back in the day, it's they buy within the Premier League, and the player doesn't need to hit the ground running, because they're just moving to a strong club, and they can just play to their strength. They don't have to worry about, you know, a bit of weak links like if you play for the lesser club. So Arsenal can learn a lesson or two from this, and you know, hopefully we can in the summer.
Yeah, then the 45th minute, like, you know, a real downer for most Gooners. Kieran Tierney ends up hitting the deck after a collision with James Milner. Later on, then they found out, you know, he's got some knee damage and he had to be subbed by halftime with Cedric coming on. And I mean, for me, even though we were playing poorly the first half, I think it was having just Tierney there, it was almost like keeping us somehow in the game still. So, I mean, alterations could have been made now, said after, but I think that kind of also threw the spanner in the works. And I mean, like, come second half, instead of attacking, because I really thought, you know, when Arteta and I had the opportunity to talk to them halftime, we were going to see a more adventurous type of Arsenal. But I mean, we ended up just sitting even deeper than we were in the first half. And I mean, the more Liverpool sense this, the drive forward intensified so much, you actually knew things were coming.
Yeah, no, like Liverpool really came, like we would say, limped to the end of the first half, but you know, came out second half ready to go, and it's almost like Arsenal didn't have any team talk at all, because it was actually quite a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, 58 minute Elneny came on for a very poor Ceballos, because I really thought they would, you know, he'd kind of get some sort of stability in midfield, because I mean, that's where we were, it's almost like just hemorrhaging position constantly. Then 61st minute, Klopp then brings on Diego Jota for Andy Robertson. And I mean, right then, when you saw that sub being made, you knew already what Klopp was not playing at, because he was sacrificing his left back to, you know, even an ever a harder pop at Arsenal. And I mean, what was it, 4 minutes later, Trent Alexander-Arnold ends up hitting a almost like a real money shot cross. And I mean, the ball ends up kind of misjudged by holding again a la Man City when he, you know, misread the flight of the ball and it dropped behind him for City to score. He does it again, and this time Jota pops up, you know, way shorter, almost like half a head shorter than him. And, you know, nods in 1-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, I think, you know, after the time when Arsenal go 1-0 down, you feel that there's some sort of hope in the game, and you know, Tierney actually, it's credit to him, has been a lot of the time that lifeline in games for Arsenal, the way he gets around the back of the opposition wing back But you just felt a bit quite of miserable after that goal went in, following it as well, Gabriel and Holding. It seems like the two of them do not play well as a partnership. If you split them up with Louise or Marie, it seems like they, with a more calmer head, it seems they both do a better job, but together they just seem like they're in disarray.
Yeah, and then 4 minutes later, almost like this is almost like a trend when we play Liverpool by now. Fabinho ends up hitting a long ball. Gabriel misjudges the flight of the ball. The ball then, of course, spills to the one you really don't want to get the ball to, and Salah gets the ball. And I mean, he ends up with like half sitting Leno on his haunches and plays the ball through his legs. 2-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, that's quite the embarrassing finish, the way the way Salah just slotted it through the legs like that. He lost for words sometimes with that Arsenal team. One moment they putting teams aside, the next they limping against the opposition. So it was not a pretty sight. 2-0 down at home after looking so strong and thinking, could there be a top four push? Liverpool don't seem the best of form, and now you 2-0 down against the side.
But I mean, look, didn't we also have like a kind of inkling that Liverpool probably hit their real form when I mean, they had their losses against Fulham, they had their losses against like just about everybody in the league come up against us and boom, they get their form again. So, in the 74th minute, Leno ends up making the save from a Salah dink. Then, 77th minute, way too late, Arteta ends up bringing on Martinelli for Aubameyang. Again, a toothless performance by the captain. And I mean, I'm really shocked at I mean, look, there weren't many no players to really say they were standout players. But I mean, when you look at say his performance of Aubameyang, and then I mean the way people this is also like for like you probably have a lot of Arsenal fans. There's such a like a big hype over Thomas Partey. And I mean I watch him in bits and bobs and that, but I didn't know. I thought now he's this sort of like like a mythical guy, that almost like a hero that's gonna come save the day for us. And I watch him; he can't string passes together. He's shooting like a rugby player. What also annoys me is you've got this guy like we. I think we all also. I think the team also sometimes look at him to think like, okay, can you bail us out here? And you watch him, and it's like he gets. When you have that sort of hype that Julia Baptista had when he was at Sevilla, and then he went to Madrid, and all the beast thing, and then you watch him in the Premier League, and you think, what, he's like a pussycat, because you don't see any, that whole ferocious attitude that he had now in Spain, and that, and I don't know, more and more, the more I watch him, I've got that sort of feeling with Thomas Partey.
I don't know. I think he just hasn't had a good string of games together with him. I know he's been a bit frustrating at times, but I also think that midfield partnership he has there is not a stable one at the moment. I mean, you look every week, it's almost a new partner with him in the middle of the park. So, yeah, I agree with you. He hasn't taken the Premier League by storm. But do you think maybe he needs a bit more time to settle in, or do you think that for the price we paid for him, that he should be hitting the ground running immediately? What do you think that's the problem with Arsenal's players at the moment? It's like we've been spending these high fees on players, and they're coming in really all the time with, kind of feeble performances.
Like, how many players did we see that are valued, say, less than that in the league, and they are performing triple or four times, like the sort of form that you see dished out, say, by Partey or dished out by Aubameyang, or like even when you look at sometimes Lacazette's control. I mean, yeah, he does hold the ball, but when almost like you put all your chips on somebody, say like Lacazette as well, then you almost like gonna end up just losing your money there, because you don't see anything then. And also with Pepe, he comes in the sub, does something good, and then you think, okay, now he has to be in the next league squad, and then he gets the opportunity to start, and then you still see this like a flat performance from him also.
And at the moment, you can't even blame Arteta anymore because he's kind of he has his game plan. It does work, but the players, for me, it's just not good enough. And I think actually you need to do an overhaul on players. Some of the guys, I mean, Aubameyang just looks finished, and I've been kind of one of the people sticking up for him because he's done the business for us over the past, 3.5 years maybe. But I do think, or 3 years, but I just do think that, I think it could be time for a change in God.
Because I mean, look, that does lead me eventually later on in the podcast to the talking points about the squad and Arteta, etc. But I mean, back to the game, 78 minutes, Salah then finds Mane, who miscontrols the ball. And I mean, I think the ball, when it ends up spilling out from the miscontrol, Jota ends up coming through almost like out of nowhere, and he just slams the ball past Leno. 3-0 Liverpool.
Game city and matches, they say, hey? 3-0 against a struggling Liverpool side.
Yeah, then I mean, even like, what's it, 93rd minute and 94th minute, Mane ends up dragging a shot wide, and Mane also had a shot saved, a good save by Leno. So it could have been way worse in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it's, you, but at the end of the day, as an Arsenal fan, you look at that game and we're like, it's not the important one. We have better business, bigger fish to fry on Thursday, which, leads to the Slavia Prague game. And you're thinking, okay, I'll take a loss there if we can do the business, at home on Thursday.
So yeah, we switch our attention then to the Arsenal Slavia Prague game. After the shocking league form, most corners were looking at this to almost like bring some sort of positivity back to the squad, because I mean it was now lacking. Arteta went with the lineup: Leno, Bellerin, holding Gabriel, Cedric in defence. Then Partey, Xhaka, shielding the defence. Then Saka, Smith Rowe, and Willian, in the mid attacking midfield roles, and then Lacazette leading the line. The game starts, and I mean, also again, really scrappy. Both teams, struggling to get a few passes strung together. Because I mean, it looked, I mean, there were points in the game as we were going on in the first 5, 10 minutes. I mean, I was like thinking I was watching my youngest playing that junior league football, because everybody were like, taking the ball on, like almost like even our most skillful players were taking the ball on, and the ball would bobble like 2 or 3 feet away from them, and they have to give chase. And I'm thinking, like, between the defeat on the Saturday against Liverpool, yeah, like, I mean, then probably the one day is like an off day, and then the rest of the days is preparation for the Europa League game. And you think to yourself, what were they doing in those, 3, 4 days? Because, I mean, that Lucas, see what Provet, he ends up firing over after 15 minutes. Gabriel, of course, brings this kind of back in the game with a header, but which kind of just bounces over. And I mean, Lacazette then drags the ball wide. And I mean, it was like, up to then, we were heading to the 30-minute mark. So woeful from most of our attacking players. And of course, Saka gets, sent free down the wing. He ends up, I really thought to myself, he's going to kind of set the keeper up and then just shift the ball past. And I mean, he ends up dragging the ball, no little kink to get the ball to turn back in at the far post. And he just, I mean, for me, a real bad, bad miss. I mean, yeah, look, I know he's still young and that, but I mean, it comes to a point where you need to be a bit more cutthroat with the way you do your stuff.
No, especially if you want to be a world beater, a one-on-one like that in the magnitude of this game, Saka should be slotting that easily into the far corner, just caressing it in. I think you should be working on that type of finishing, because you play on the right-hand side, you're going to get chances like that, and that was actually a chance I was going to bring up. And like I said, really seemed to be struggling as well, because Saka had got Blanche on the right-hand side of the pitch, and he was getting down the flanks and trying to play Lacazette in. But you were the guy furthest forward was always late in arriving to the box or nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and I mean, look, come second half, Saka ends up bursting through quite early after the restart. He ends up getting clipped by Claude Zema, a free kick given just outside of the box. Willian then steps up. His free kick ends up curling and hitting the post, outside of the post. But I mean, I really think, okay, is this another start of something positive? But then, just a few minutes later, Arsenal then get caught out, excuse me, with a left back, Jan, was it Boril? He ends up thumping an effort. And I mean, it's kind of going wide. And I mean, with Bellerin coming to charge the ball down, it ends up almost like deflecting the ball goalwards. And Leno has to then pull out the safety to deny Prague goal.
Well, I mean, Leno, In one moment you're upset at him, but the next you have to just look at him and say thank you, because so many times if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have been where we are. Like, the manner he keeps us into the game, that's unbelievable. And for me, Slavia also, weren't the best, playing the best game. I mean, they just looked like they were struggling. They looked very abject. And they also were missing three regular centre backs as well. So the fact that Arsenal didn't take the chances as yet, you were getting a bit worried and just hoping that we would convert something. And I mean, for me, the lineup was very conservative as well.
So 62nd minute, Lacazette then breaks from the halfway line with a clear run at the Slavia goal. I mean, I was not thinking, okay, the more he's like getting close to the box, I'm thinking, now you're gonna need an ice cold finish to sort this out. And then he ends up opting for a curler to the top bins. And I mean, I'm thinking to myself, of all the finishes that you're gonna do as an Arsenal fan, you go for that sort of finish. And I mean, it ends up clipping the bar and then bouncing away to safety. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, it just infuriated me even more with what was already a stressful game to watch.
Yeah, because I mean, Slavia Prague have shown that, they're no slouches, and the chances we were getting, those chance after chance after chance, it was kind of giving me almost that Olympiacos of last season, when we weren't taking our chances and just waiting to get punished. And I think, the substitutes did bring some more life into the game, and that allowed us, Aubameyang was actually starting to boss a bit more. Pepe was starting to, get some choke on his boots, and he was outpacing the defenders.
Yeah, when they came on, there was like more urgency in the game. 86 minute, Aubameyang then ends up sending Pepe through at goal. Pepe, of course, outsprints the last man. I think even though that last defender was going to like hang on to him or just lean into him. But when Pepe kept his cool, what little keeper came sliding out and just dinked the ball over 1-0 Arsenal.
Yeah, what a goal, what a finish! And you're thinking to yourself, this could be it. Arsenal, amazing opportunity now to go into the next leg, 1-0 up, and it just shows what you can do when you add a bit of pace to the team. I mean, Martinelli, coming on for Willian was actually a fresh pressure, breath of air, because I mean, Willian isn't the guy to take on defenders like Martinelli was. So that had to happen much sooner, but 1-0 to the Arsenal, and you're thinking, close out the game, thank you very much. We'll take the game to Prague.
So at the 8th minute, Arteta ends up taking Smith Rowe off, bringing on Danny Ceballos. And when the sub got made, you just started seeing a more, I don't know, it started getting reckless as it got then. That when you and I were talking about the Tottenham game a while back, where we said
Yes.
you controlled the game for 80 minutes, and then all of a sudden you just start going to sort of panic stations. And I mean, first, I think as they are doing like a high press, Prague, Cedric gets the ball, and I'm thinking to myself, just hit the ball downfield. That's all you need to do. And I mean, I saw now a lot of people giving, say, Gabriel now flack with the game now last night. And I mean, Cedric ends up passing the ball to Gabriel, and there's two guys closing in on him already. And I mean, Gabriel tries to make the clearance downfield, but I mean, it gets charged down, and I think it flicks off like double deflection where. I think it ends up flicking Gabriel and it bounces out for a corner. And then the corner gets taken. And I mean, where I was really shocked was just the way this sort of set up. I mean, as a professional outfit, and you watch that sort of defending, because the ball ends up coming over. Nobody's really attacking the ball, right? I think Pepe is jumping, but also to nowhere, because he's not really trying to attack the ball and head it out. Rob Holding is standing at ball watching as the ball drops again over. It's also more like Groundhog Day with him again. And of course, Cedric is too slow at the back post, misses the whole, the runner coming in from the back. And then, I mean, Thomas Hollis ends up darting in and bullet hits the ball on 1-1.
Oh, you could see Arteta's reaction after that goal. He was, basically so pissed off. And, I know sometimes you blame the manager and we'll get into it, but I mean, come on, guys. Use some sort of logic there. Get the ball out the box. Don't dilly-dally. Just see how the result is. Literally seconds remaining. This is probably the game for Arsenal, and 1-1 to Arsenal. And a big concern for me is, and I don't know how you feel about this, but we really been battling in the Europa League, the group stages, when you're coming up against so-called bigger sides. Yes, we've gotten through Benfica, we scraped through Olympiacos. It was hearts in mouth moments for us. And then you look at as well now against Slavia Prague. I mean, who says we'll make it through to the next round? But you know, where to from here?
I mean, it's as infuriating as what I think you mentioned a while back at the time with Unai Emery, where you said, look, if you have to always have to make these changes to get some sort of effect on the team, why don't you get the plan right in the first place? And it's like a constant cycle where just you see this, I'm like, at times it's pure shit because for a team of Arsenal's stature to see. And I mean, I know sometimes some people say, oh, yeah, you're entitled or whatever as Arsenal fans. But I mean, if you know, if you want to be kept in high regard, the same way United goes their ups and downs, but I mean, they still try to keep some sort of standard. With us, it's like these players don't play for the badge, really. Because, you know, I think I'm not sure if I mentioned it last week or something like that, or a few weeks ago. But it's like when you look at, say, somebody like Kevin De Bruyne or that Mo Salah, you're watching players that are pushing to get everything that they possibly can as a footballer, whether it's trophies or personal awards, like, you know, top goal scorer or player of the season. With us, it's almost like who wears the fanciest clothes, the most exotic clothing, or drives the flashy cars. And right there for me is already one part of the problem. I mean, it's a big problem, but I mean, that's for me the one key thing to the problem because you look at any of the other teams when those that are now, say, pushing for a title, pushing in whichever sort of tournament, they have players that want to, you know, that are willing to roll their sleeves up as fancy and as skillful or whatever as they are, but they're willing to roll their sleeves up and fight for the team, or they fight for the honor of the club.
Yeah, you don't see, you know, people making fuss, you know, about Mo Salah's car, Mane's car, you know, Aguero's car. These guys don't, you know, do these flashy type of things. And you look at Man City as well at the moment. You know, you go back to the start of the season, they looked a far cry from the Man City that, you know, people feared. They had no Sergio Aguero. I mean, he's even going to be on his way out. It just shows how Man City are very proactive in the way they do things, and look at Arsenal. It's like we're looking around, and who's going to save us? I mean, Aubameyang's been doing it for a few seasons, but nothing's happening for him this season. I mean, you can't depend on him to win a final for you this season. And Lacazette, you know, he's good, but when it comes to those crunch moments as well, at the moment, it seems like he also just chokes up a bit. So you're looking at now, Saka. I'm pinning all your hopes on Saka at the moment, who, you know, he's still very young, and you can see he still lacks experience in that cool head in front of goal.
So we should attention now to Sheffield United versus Arsenal, 20th versus 10th. I mean, I'm not going to go too heavy into it like I usually would, but I mean, it's like a burning train smash for overseas both clubs because
Yeah,
Sheffield
true.
United with 4 wins after, I think, I forgot now, what's the total of games? I think 32 games so far.
That, yeah, I think
32?
it's those 30, isn't there 8 games remaining, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, 30. And then I mean, 14 points for them. And then I mean, Arsenal with 12 defeats and a +5 goal difference, which is embarrassing when you look at, let's say, what Man City, Liverpool, and them all have up in the upper levels of the table. So, you know, less said about the numbers, the better. But I mean, what's your take on the game?
You know, this type of game where I don't know if you can explain, it's almost like I wouldn't say a chore, but you just kind of a formality to watch the game and get through it because you know there's no outcome. You know, whether Arsenal win, lose, or draw, there's going to be no real what's the word? You know, there's if we
Yeah.
win 4-0, we lose 3-0, you know, how's it going to impact our form in the Premier League? It's more a case of just get through there, don't get any injuries, and focus on Thursday actually against Slavia Prague with the away leg. That for me is the holy grail actually, not the fixture versus, you know, Sheffield United. Just go out there, you know, maybe get some momentum back somehow. You know, maybe if you can get 2, 3 goals and keep your heads up because Arsenal really need to practice the finishing.
For me, it feels very much like, you know, the December month, the early December month, all over, you know, the late November, early in December, because It's like nothing is going right for us. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody like fancies there's any chances now against us. There's no faith.
Yeah, and I think Slavia Prague, I know, kind of maybe moving away slightly from Sheffield United since the second leg is next week. You got to wonder now, how do Arsenal pick themselves up in such a, probably Arteta's most important game now as an Arsenal manager. You know, there's no excuses anymore. There's nothing, you know, all the players need to come out now and actually show their grit and, you know, learn from their mistakes.
So when I round off now, just with some talking points, what's your thoughts on the Arteta reign feeling? Like, I mean, my personal feeling is like it's a bit like the end of Wenger and Emery era type of feel to it, because when the players sometimes like, just don't want to do what the coaches wanting them to do. And I mean, look, like I said, they have been open about it, where they say some players are not following the orders or following the instructions the coach has given. And I mean, for me, right there and then already should be a big concern also for the club owners or the board, because you can't have, if somebody has a simple instruction for the team and they can't even react to it or actually put it into process, it really pisses me off. Because, look, of course, all the flak is going to come on Arteta, and I'm one way, how can I say it? I could also be like, say, Arteta out bandwagon, but I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I mean, you can't also give him the benefit of the doubt if you still have that same troublemakers, the same problems there. Because, yes, we changed it to the coach, and then, I mean, you're still going to have the same players having the same problem. Maybe they have that 3 month burst where they want to, play their heart out for the new guy or the new coach. And then you're going to be back to square one, and we're going to be right here, the same thing where we get our season with 12 defeats and a plus 5 goal difference. And I mean, out of just about everything. Because I just think it's going to come to a point, and I think I told my wife as well, where we need to start getting players, that want to be on, everybody's on board with, say, what Arteta's project is. Because for me, it's like Klopp or Pep or even Jose or Ole, they would not take this sort of crap from their players, honestly. And I think, as tough of a shell Arteta tries to bring out into about himself or his personality in the media, I think he allows too much also to go on. Because I think, especially with these players, and I think you mentioned about almost like roughly a year ago, where you said you need a coach that's going to come in almost like, with a stick and,
Yes.
really drive the point home. Because I just think they're honestly not taking you seriously. They can't even put a simple game plan or approach. Because, you as a coach can instruct your team to do this, that, and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, at the end of the day, you need those 11 on the pitch to sort themselves out on the pitch and win the game for you on the pitch. They can't always just be, glancing over to you and you telling them what to do. They need to start thinking for themselves. And I think that's the sort of player we need to start getting that can do their thinking on their own, that can actually turn the game on their own.
No, 100%. I think, you asked me what's my take on Arteta. At the moment, I think he has the right plans in place. It's just the players aren't executing it. I mean, you can see the defensive structure at the moment of Arsenal has much better. They hold a decent defensive line. It just comes down to the execution. And I think, I mean, that's why Arteta has to probably shout for 90 minutes, kind of telling each player what to do, because it just seems that they don't. Further than the instruction, they just don't have that initiative that, or that you need as a top club to have initiative. You know, follow the game plan, but there are times you need to change it up slightly just to kind of get the upper hand in the game, or maybe don't defend too deep all the time. You know, come out a bit. But I think like Arteta at the moment, there are some players that he needs to kind of weed out. I mean, you've seen Arsenal games that they've lost or drawn it. It's not because of a lack of, good playing well. I mean, Burnley, for example, how much chances did we need there? Wolves as well, how many chances do we need there? We lost to Aston Villa. Cedric passed the ball to Gabriel. It was it was a silly pass, hospital pass, as they call it. So you look at it and you look at the players at the team. I mean, if you give Arsenal any coach at the moment with these crop of players, they probably end up with the same result. So, my take on Arteta at the moment is give him till the end of the season, see where we end up, and if the season doesn't end well, you know, if the season doesn't start well next week, I mean next season, then, you know, we kind of have to kind of look for a replacement. Who could replace him? You know, maybe bringing a guy like Brendan Rodgers, probably. But I don't know who else is on the market at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough call. So, with that, we end the podcast. We hope you guys enjoy the weekend. Take care, guys. Bye.
Cheers, guys. And, you know, hopefully we can get the 3 points. And, you know, more importantly, overturn that away goal that Slavia Prague got against us.